Amen and good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome on this beautiful day. Did the wind blow you in or did you come on your own? Lord has blessed us with some wind, hadn't he, and some water once we needed it. He knows right when we need it most. It's good to see you and thank you for coming, bringing the great spirit of worship as today we begin the season in the church year of Pentecost. So we'll be celebrating Pentecost for several Sundays. Let's look at a few announcements before we begin worship. I will say the convention this year was a great convention. It was a lot of uplifting worship and very inspiring. Had great speakers. I think things went really well. The Lord blessed it. So continue to pray for our churches. They'd be strengthened and that Jesus would be magnified. This month, the month of May, we collect change for children for the children's home. Did you want to say anything on that, Pam?
No, sir. Kim, you know the date.
They can use our support, we'll continue to think about the children's home and the great ministry there as they're preparing to finish up another house that'll be housing more children that need our support. Thursday, June the 1st, 10 a.m., a Bible study. Next Sunday, Sunday morning, June the 4th, men's prayer breakfast at 7:30. Come and for a great meal and a great time together as the men pray. We have several churches involved. Pray for the needs and minister to people in the community. Also, the 4th, Graduate Sunday, there'll be a cover dish dinner to follow. Next Sunday, and on Friday, June the 9th, 6 p.m., Relay for Life, Survivor Dinner at Ag Extension Office. You got need any information on that, Joella can get you fixed right up. Get you signed up, can't you? Okay, that's what I thought. All right. Bible School, June the 11th through the 14th. Melissa can put you right to work if you'll see her, Melissa Boone, as we gear up for Bible School. Relay for Life, June the 16th on Friday, and that's going to be from 6 to 10 at South Lenore. And then we got coming in the parade on June the 24th, Deep Run Parade. You don't want to miss that. Fireworks at 9. Do we have any other announcements?
No choir practice this week.
No choir practice this week, all right. Okay, let's prepare for worship.
Please take your bulletins and stand as we read together the responsive reading. Come, sing a new song of worship.
Come, sing a new song of praise.
Today is a day of promise fulfilled.
With joy we celebrate Pentecost.
Pentecost, a day when power and comfort flowed.
Pentecost, a day of hope and inspiration.
A day when the Holy Spirit was revealed in flaming glory.
And the glory was given to the people.
The fire of the Holy Spirit lives on in us.
We sing praises. Indeed.
We sing praises indeed.
Indeed we sing praises. Lord, we thank you for this time we can come together, praise, worship you, feel and experience the presence of your Holy Spirit as we celebrate the season of Pentecost. Move among us as you did the church on that first day when they were consumed with the fire of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you will remain standing, turn to hymn number 809. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of God of Our Fathers. 809. Has our scriptures this morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is Numbers 11, 24 through 30. Numbers 11, 24 through 30. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke with him and took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him and put it into 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. However, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them. and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran to Moses and told him, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, Moses, my lord, stop them. But Moses replied, Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put this spirit on them. Then Moses and the elders returned to the camp. The New Testament reading is Acts 1, 6 through 14. Acts 1, 6 through 14. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simeon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Did not see night,
the Lamb of God. Well, must be the Lamb.
Continue to worship as we pray. Are there any names we need to mention this morning?
Marcy Howe.
Okay. It's Marcy Howe.
Perry Lychek.
Perry Lychek and Bryce Turner. Okay.
Our country.
Gary Heck.
Dan Kennedy.
Received a text this morning from Elaine in regards to Dan. And I'll read it to you. It says, "Hi, Joe. Just wanted to give an update on Dan. He has had it a little rough since Friday afternoon. He went into AFib last night. Thank Lord they got the meds and IVs going. He said yesterday he needed prayers, but he didn't think he was up any company. And he said the same today. By all means, do continue to pray for us. We know God has been with him. And please announce this in church." So pray for Dan and Elaine. He's had a serious surgery. Any others?
Ben Parrish.
Ben Parrish, okay. Pray for Billy. She's got sciatica problems in her hip and back, so she's out of time. Her mom is doing much better. Your prayers have really paid off on that. So thank you for that. Anyone else? John and Linda Sapp, okay.
He has throat cancer and I think they're having a rough time.
Okay. Any others? All right, when you get all prayed up on that, pray for one another. Certainly thank God for his blessings. Let's pray.
heard the names of the sick, their families. We just ask for you to send the Holy Spirit to comfort them, Lord. May they be healed to your will. May you nurture their families so that they can get through this difficult time. We ask that you continue to look out for all the churches in our land. God, direct all that they say and do. God, direct the example they set for all of those in the world. We ask that you be with our country and state and local leaders in their decisions that affect our lives. We ask that you forgive us of our sins. We ask that you guide our thoughts, our actions, and our words. And most of all, nurture a desire in us to serve you. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all turn in our hymnals to 390. Stand and sing verses 1, 3, and 4 of Spirit of God Descend Upon My Heart.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated. So our scripture text this morning comes from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Tony read part of that for us this morning. It goes like this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Have you ever gotten something that had instructions with it? And what was the first thing you did with instructions? Well, let's suppose that you're abnormal and you started reading the instructions, okay? So you read number one and you completed number one, and then in your mind you thought, well, what's the next step, right?
Go back to number one.
Go back to number one. That's our thought this morning. Our thought is the next step. What is the next step? After Jesus was raised from the dead on the first Easter morning, and before he ascended to go into heaven and to go to prepare a place for us, Jesus spent 40 days walking and talking and eating and fellowshipping with his disciples. Among the final words that he spoke to them were in Mark 16:15, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." All the world, all creation. And this statement was among the last things that Jesus said to his followers. But it was not the last thing that he said to his followers. Y'all know what happened after the death of Jesus. His followers scattered and abandoned him. Judas betrayed him and took his own life. And Peter denied ever knowing him. The others just ran away except for John. And they locked themselves behind closed doors in an attempt to escape the same fate that had befell Jesus. Mary Magdalene came to where they were and said, "I've just seen the Lord. He's alive." And Peter ran to the tomb to see for himself, to see, and Jesus wasn't there, but his shroud was. But Peter, however, he was not convinced. And the scripture says that he went away wondering to himself what had happened. He was just wandering around and he just didn't know what was going on. You ever been like that? Okay. Later that next day, Jesus did appear to his disciples in the flesh. And they heard him speak, and they saw his scars, and they ate fish with him. And they believed beyond all doubt that he was who he claimed to be, that he was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. Eventually, Jesus gave them what is known as the Great Commission. In this enormous statement of vision, Jesus told the disciples that he was calling them to a task that certainly seemed like mission impossible. Now, if you think about it, he was telling this ragtag little team of misfits, these quitters, these underachievers, to go out and change the entire world. The world. Not just the street corner, not just the community, not just their neighborhood, not just the side of town that they lived on. The vision Jesus gave them was the whole world, all the world. That's pretty big, isn't it? And Jesus certainly knew how monumental this task was and how ill-equipped the disciples were. And he knew they didn't have it in them to pull it off on their own. They needed something more. So after Jesus gave them this vision about their new global mission, he had one more thing to say to them, and it would be the last words they would hear him speak out loud. So what was it? What was this next step? What exactly did Jesus say to them? Part of it is captured in the final paragraphs of the Gospel of Luke, and part of it is captured in the first chapter of Acts, which was also written by Luke. Luke 24:49 starts like this: "I'm going to send to you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city till you've been clothed with power from on high." And then Acts 1:4 it says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you've heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And in the verse we read, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. Now, power, he said, power, clothed with power from on high, not political power, not the power of money, not the power of prestige, not the power of your name, not the power of your race, but power from on high. You will receive power. And that word power in the Greek is dunamis. And that's where we get the word dynamite. And you know how strong dynamite is, don't you? Well, you probably don't. You probably never used it. But I remember Granddad telling us they were going to dig a ditch. That's how they dug it. They took dynamite out there. And ever so far apart, they'd put it down in the ground. And when they would bust that first one off, it would boom, 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 and blow it out, make just as pretty a ditch as you'll never see. I bet that'd be fun, wouldn't it? You could really have a July 4th celebration with that, couldn't you? But that's the kind of power that Jesus promised his followers and to us as well. And so today I want to talk about experiencing this power from on high, how you experience it, and why we need this next step and how we receive it. But to begin with, just a few things I want to point out. First of all, when it comes to what this says here, knowledge alone isn't enough. It's not enough just to know the facts about the Christian faith. It's not enough to just know what the Bible says. It's not enough to be able to recite Scripture or the Apostles' Creed or some motto that you have. These things are good, but they're not enough. It's not enough that Jesus to know that Jesus Christ is Lord and He's risen from the dead. It's a good thing. It's necessary. It's where you start, but merely knowing is not enough. I mean, think about if it was enough. Jesus could have told his disciples, he could have said, all right, boys, y'all been with me these 3 years. You know, we've walked around all through the communities and homes and out on the water and stuff. And you've heard my teaching. I mean, you've learned well. You boys, you kind of grasp it, I believe. You've seen the miracles. You know I can do a miracle. I mean, you know what I can do. And I mean, you've seen me be raised from the dead. Can't nobody top that. There, based on this multitude of evidence I presented to you, it should be enough for you, being you know this, to just go out and turn the world upside down. But that's not what Jesus said. Because he knew that merely knowing the facts in your head is not enough to get the job done. You need more than just head knowledge to capture this vision. You need more than head knowledge to put this vision into practice. You need power. You need dynamite. You need the explosive power of God in your heart. Now, this brings us to the next point. Without God's power, life eventually unravels. Your lack of power, your desperation, or your desperate need for power will eventually become obvious in your life. That's what happened to the disciples. They discovered what they were truly capable of on their own. On their own, they were quitters. On their own, they were cowards. On their own, they were betrayers. On their own, they were abandoners. On their own, they were deniers. And they came to the end of themselves, and they knew that they were incapable of. They knew that they needed something greater than themselves. It was obvious to them, and even to everyone around them, that they needed something more. That's why this next step is so important. When Jesus said, you will be clothed with power from on high, not one of them spoke up and said, well, thank you, Lord. I don't really need none of that, you know. I've got everything it takes to go out and carry this mission out, this vision throughout all the world. I've got it all. I'll be fine without it. But you know what? They knew they needed it. They knew they had to have something greater than what they could see and what they could comprehend and what they could accomplish on their own. Church, we need it too. Every follower of Jesus Christ eventually comes to this place, to the end of themselves, where in their desperation and their frustration, they must say, you know, I can't do this no more. I can't carry out his mission. I can't carry out this vision he's given to me. I can't do it on my own. I must have the power of God. Even the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, fought this battle. In the book of Romans 7:15, he said, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. I know y'all have never done that before, right? You know, he went on to say, he said, I find this law at work, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me, for in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, a waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Man, what a wretched man I am. You ever feel like that? Paul was experiencing the same powerlessness that the disciples experienced after the crucifixion. And the same powerlessness that we ourselves experience from time to time. Amen? You know, we were created to live in God, in a relationship to Him, even dependent upon Him. And when we try to live any other way, when we try to disconnect from God and live in our own power, we inevitably come to the end of ourselves. I've yet to see a credible exception. It happens to everyone. Without God's power in our lives eventually unravel. It brings me to another thing here. God's power is available to every believer. Whew, man, that's good, isn't it? Isn't that good to know? You know, as you see the way the worldly power works today, not everybody has access to worldly power, do they? It depends on a lot of different things, don't it? But that's not the way it is with God. His power is available to every believer. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea, all the end of the earth. This is what Jesus promised his followers, and it's exactly what happened a few days later. The disciples received power and then some. Isn't that good? And then some. And after the day of Pentecost, there was an explosion of growth and salvation, of baptisms and miracles and compassion and unity and holiness and healing. It was an incredible time. And it was the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus made for his followers. That same promise, church, that same promise is yours and mine to receive. Oh, how we need it. And the good news is that we can all have it. Amen? The guidelines that Jesus gave his followers before his ascension are the same guidelines that we should follow today. In receiving power from on high, there are three principles to remember, and it won't take long. All right, so get ready, because I know you can't hardly wait to get out and put them into action. First of all, we need to understand, we need to understand that waiting comes first. That's what Jesus told his followers, Luke 24:48. Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Now, that's pretty simple, isn't it? Just stay there till you get it, huh? Don't leave without it. Who said that? It was one of them, weren't it? Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised. But actually, this runs contrary to my nature. How about yours? Y'all want to wait? My attitude by nature, what do you mean wait? I mean, don't you know who I am? I mean, I ain't got time to wait. I need it now. I want it now. You know, why can't I have it now? Why can't I do it now? What I had to wait one more minute for. Why? We have to wait because we have to wait. That's God's way. You want to argue with God about that? But we must understand that waiting on God is not the same thing as waiting on your spouse. When you're waiting on your spouse, it's typically because you're ready and you're waiting for him or her to get ready, and all they're doing is holding you up. Anybody ever done that? But that's not the way it is with God. When you're waiting on God, most often it's not because he isn't ready. It's because you aren't ready. And therefore, the time we spend waiting on God is time that we need to spend getting ourselves ready. So we need to wait on God. One thing in mind, waiting doesn't mean doing nothing. It means using your time to get ready for what God has in store for you. It means getting ready for God to get ready for what God is fixing to do. You see, while the disciples were waiting for the gift the Father had promised, they didn't spend their time doing nothing. Instead, they took care of some business. They chose a new apostle to take Judas' place. The scripture says they spent time in prayer. They spent time in worship. They spent time in fellowship. They spent time doing things for one another, being unified. They spent their time seeking God. That's the only way to wait. Waiting on God, seeking God. They go hand in hand. And I want you to know that they were waiting. When we wait on God, it always pays off. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Isaiah said it this way, "But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Waiting pays off when you're waiting and seeking the Lord at the same time. You know, if you find yourself in a situation, or if you're in a situation right now where you've come to the end of yourself and you need more, you know what you need is some of that spiritual dynamite in order to move to the next level. Here's what you need to do. The next step is to wait on God and to seek him while you wait. God's power is on the way, and it'll arrive when you're ready. The second thing we must understand is when God's power arrives, we'll know it. We'll know it. How will you know? Well, sometimes you'll see it in the circumstances around you. God will begin to cause things to happen. You will know that beyond the shadow of a doubt that God is on the scene, and that God is calling, and that God is moving, and God is doing his work all around you, and he's bringing you along with him. Sometimes you'll sense it in your spirit. There are times when God's spirit moves in your life, and you know it's happening because he bears witness with your spirit, and you feel his spirit within you. You feel the waves of joy. You feel his love. You feel the peace that he gives. You feel the confidence that he gives you. And you feel the certainty that you're not in it all alone. You feel his compassion and his love for you. You feel his purpose in your life. God, our power arrives. You'll know it. You'll see it in the circumstances around you. You'll sense it in your spirit. And you'll see a difference in the aftermath. The results you begin to experience won't be what they used to be. It'll be something different. It'll be something new. It'll be something filled with power. And there'll be no mistake that it's God. God's power makes that much of a difference. I think it's the people at American Express. Huh? Don't leave home without it. Amen? So when you get up of a morning, ask God's Spirit to go with you. And to be a part of everything that you're a part of for the day. Seek God's power and his anointing in everything that you do. Now, here's the truth. Receiving God's power doesn't mean he does everything and you do nothing. If we set a goal, for example, if we were to set a goal here to win 100 people for Christ before the end of this year, it's not going to be because God's going to randomly send a bunch of people in here while we sit back on a blessed assurance and wait on him to do everything. We'll still have to put forth the effort. We're still doing the work. But the difference is that he's now powering the engine. Any of y'all ever done any running? You know, like 2 feet running, you know? We used to run a lot around that track over there. I don't know if y'all ever know or not. I know Dexter remembers it. Go, they'd run you over there, buddy. You had to be in shape. You know, you go down one side, when you go down, you'd be going and you're into the wind, right? The wind's blowing right in your face. I mean, it's killing you. And if you ever got around that curve and got the wind to your back, man, it's almost like he's on a skateboard, huh? Isn't that something? Well, that's kind of how the Holy Spirit, you know, on your own, it's like running into that wind that's been blowing this week. And, man, what a great relief it would be to have that wind on your back, huh? But that's how it is when we walk in the Spirit. We receive God's power, and God does for us. He expects us to do what He's called us to do, but He's going to do what we can't do. And that's when His Holy Spirit takes over. And sometimes the work is challenging, it's exhausting, and it involves late nights and long hours and all the determination you can muster. But the difference is that when you're doing it with His anointing, He's powering the engine, He's blessing your efforts. It's like the wind to your back. It's the same in our personal lives. Experience God's power doesn't mean you just sit around the house waiting on God to do everything. It means you do what you can do, and you let Him work through you to do what you're not able to accomplish on your own, and He will do that. And the third thing I want us to understand is God's power is always related to God's purpose for your life. And that's why many times our prayers life can be frustrating, because we pray out of God's purpose, and God says no. He answers it, no. Or He might say, well, you need to wait more. You need to pray more. Go, you're not praying for the right thing. You're not asking for the right thing. You're not praying for what's best for your benefit. You're going to have to wait. Don't quit praying. Just keep praying, keep seeking, and it'll come around. You will be my witnesses, Jesus said, in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth. God wants to use you in such a way that others will see His glory in you. God created you. He created you and I in His image, and He expects us to reflect that image. And He wants to use us in such a way that our life is a testimony to His greatness. God's great, isn't He? God is good, isn't He? His greatness, His goodness. He wants us to reflect His mercy. He wants us to reflect His compassion. He wants us to reflect His overwhelming love for all people. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become a citizen of the great kingdom of heaven. And God's purpose for us is that we become a productive citizen of that kingdom. That in our work and in our relationships and our activities, that we further the kingdom of God, that we make His kingdom even greater than it is, that we expand His kingdom wherever we go. Many times our thought of God's kingdom never goes out the door. But He wants it out the door. He wants it into all the world, His kingdom. And He wants us to be not just a spectator, but a participator. That's how we grow. He wants us to participate in the great work of the kingdom of God. And that means that in our work and relationships and activities, that we must be reflecting His image in such a way that we're touching lives and ministering to others in His name. Listen, God's power is not just for you. It's for the benefit of others. If God's power had just been for the disciples, Jesus would have said, boys, when it comes on, you're not there in Jerusalem, you just go ahead and do whatever you want to do. You're on your own now. Yeah, and they're on their own. That's not what He said. He said, you're going to be clothed with power on high, so that your life will have meaning and purpose. And that purpose is to be a blessing for others and magnify Jesus in kingdom power. So in conclusion, the next step, here's what it comes down to. God's vision for you as an individual and for all of us as a church is really too big for us to even imagine. I mean, that explosive dynamite power can do things we cannot even conceive what God could do if we just said, Lord, come and use us like a dish rag. Make disciples of all the world. How are we going to do that? It's kind of like a mission impossible. Some of you may be thinking, me, change the world? I can barely get through the day. I mean, you know, how can we as a church expand our ministry when we're barely making ends meet? How's it possible? Consider Peter. Would you ever thought that Peter, after denying Jesus and failing him publicly and swearing before God three times he never knew the man, would preach and thousands, even multitudes, would get saved? Would you ever thought that? You know, maybe that's why Jesus changed his name to Rock. You know, when he denied, he wanted a rock. But Jesus saw that with the power of the Spirit, he would become the rock. And he would rock solid. And it's only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. God's explosive power makes all the difference in the way we live out our lives, in the way we relate to others around us. You cannot make your mark on the world until God has made his mark on you. And this is how he does it. This is the next step. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, today, ask God to fill you with the power of his Spirit so that you can be the difference maker in the lives of those people that you frequent each and every day. This is the next step, and one that must not be left out. Father, we thank you for your word and what it teaches us. But more than that, we thank you that it's through this word and this promise that we're empowered. Give us a thirst for that power that only you can give. And help us to yield to it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's all stand and turn to 382 in our hymnals. We're going to sing verses 1 and 3 of Come, Holy Spirit.
Thank you all for coming to bring in the spirit of worship. Carry that same spirit with you and put it to work. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody have a word before we leave? Remember the announcements. Okay, Father, we prepare to go into the world to be followers of Jesus. Give us that dynamic power that we need to represent who you really are to everyone we meet. We certainly remember those who have asked an instance of prayer, especially Dan. And right now, I pray the name of Jesus over his life and his body, the medical team. I pray you'd bless him, Lord. I pray you would anoint him. I pray you'd bring healing, give him strength and assurance. I pray for Elaine, Lord, your blessings upon her. Anoint her with that same power that raised Jesus from the dead and give her the strength that she needs to minister with Dan. Bless them, Lord, and we give you praise, honor, and glory for all you do. And we pray for one another in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.